cycling isn't just cycling. It can be cycling or cycling or even cycling. Peloton isn't just one thing. We have classes that will ease you in and classes that'll make you sweat and a range of instructors so you can find your match. Whatever you're in the mood for, we can get you in the zone. See for yourself with a worry-free 30-day home trial. Visit onepeloton.com/home-trial. Terms apply.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And we want to start out by, we have told you before, well over a year ago, we were telling you here on this program, and it wasn't news. It was covered up, and people like Fauci can always depend on what they call the mainstream media to have their back, to help them and continue. If it's a wicked crime, well, whatever the orders that come down from George Soros and the Clintons and that's what the mainstream media will do. They will obey their masters. So they won't tell you. You won't hear any of this out there, but you're going to hear it here, and that's why we're here. We're the watchmen on the wall. And so go ahead and take her away.
The corpses of thousands of children killed by Dr. Anthony Fauci in illegal medical experiments have been uncovered in Hawthorne, New York, bolstering the case to have the former NIH director charged with crimes against humanity and crimes against children. In the same way that Nazi Dr. Joseph Mengele's crimes horrified the world when his atrocities were exposed after World War II, the scope and reach of Fauci's horrific experiments on animals and children are leaving investigators stunned. Why isn't this front page news in every newspaper in the country? Where is the mainstream media? The short answer is the mainstream media is hard at work covering up the crimes of the globalist elite, including the depraved crimes of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Before we dive in, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already and join the People's Voice Locals community to support the channel and gain access to uncensored content. Dr. Fauci is a psychopath who has pushed science into the realm of sadism. Freedom of information documents obtained in January 2021 by the White Coat Waste Project show that Dr. Anthony Fauci approved a $424,000 NIA grant in 2020 for experiments in which healthy puppies were tortured, enclosed in cages with their vocal cords removed, where sand fleas slowly ate them alive. Why were their vocal cords removed? So that the researchers could continue to torture the puppies over the course of 196 days without the annoyance of incessant barking.
If Dr. Anthony Fauci thought Rand Paul was mad at him, wait until the animal activists see this. A new report shows that under Fauci's direction, the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease funded painful and deadly experiments on dogs to the tune of more than $400,000. According to the White Coat Waste Project, researchers used biting flies to infect dozens of healthy beagles with parasites to test an experimental drug. Records show the dogs endured months of pain, and once researchers were done with them, they were killed. Here to react, Laura Logan, host of Laura Logan Has No Agenda on Fox Nation, and Justin Goodman of the White Coat Waste Project. Justin, let me begin with you. What did you find in terms of your research on this?
Well, everyone knows that Anthony Fauci potentially caused the pandemic with reckless animal experiments over in Wuhan. But we track federal spending, particularly at the NIH, and through the Freedom of Information Act, we learned that the Fauci's division specifically recently contracted $400,000 for a university experiment where they bought 28 healthy beagles. The NIH website says they choose beagles because they're small and docile. Read, that means they are easy to abuse. They took these 28 healthy beagles, infected them with parasites by, as they've done in the past, strapping devices to them that allow flies to eat them alive, basically, give them parasites, and then they killed the dogs at the end of the study, even though they could have been rehabilitated and adopted out. This is a classic example of not following the science. These experimental drugs have already been extensively tested in other animals, including dogs, in the past. The FDA says that testing on dogs is not necessary. The EPA and the VA have ended dog testing or about to end dog testing, and the NIH admits that 90% of these animal tests fail to translate to humans.
There really was no point to the experimentation, besides the sick and twisted pleasure of America's premier medical sadists. That same year, Dr. Fauci gave $400,000 to University of Pittsburgh scientists to graft the scalps of aborted fetuses onto living mice and rats. emulating the deranged experiments of his hero, Dr. Joseph Mengele, who earned the nickname the Angel of Death for his sadist experiments on children in Auschwitz. There is no possible excuse for such inhumane depravity. This is the behaviour of a criminal psychopath drunk on absolute power. A bipartisan group of Congress members wrote to Fauci in 2021 to express their grave concerns about him using taxpayer dollars to torture puppies. Such is the man's supreme arrogance, Fauci did not deign to reply. Perhaps he thought the issue was of little consequence, because Fauci hasn't just tortured and experimented on dogs. He's also tortured and experimented on humans, including children. And there is a mass grave in New York that bears witness to his crimes. After this quick break, we will expose the full extent of Fauci's crimes against children and explain why the mainstream media cannot be allowed to brush his crimes under the carpet. But first, an important message from our sponsor. The globalist elite want us to be financially unstable, so we rely on them for everything. And now they're making their move. Right now in Biden's America, inflation is so high that the Federal Reserve is talking about raising interest rates further, which will completely tank the economy. But this is all part of their agenda. The only people who aren't afraid of the coming financial collapse are those who are investing in gold. The problem is the price of gold is near an all-time stability. I urge you to download this exclusive report to predict PCR tests administered through New York's Child Welfare Department, who then handed the children over to Dr. Fauci, no questions asked, for the deadly experiments. Damningly, many of the drugs Fauci was testing on the children were already known to cause deformities, organ failure, brain damage, and other lethal side effects. And yet, the innocent children were required to continue with Fauci's depraved experimentation, regardless of the negative side effects. In 2004, a British documentary entitled Guinea Pig Kids exposed the savage barbarity of Dr. Fauci's science projects. The nurses administering the drugs were lied to by Dr. Fauci, who explicitly told them that all the adverse side effects they witnessed in the children were being caused by the HIV infection and not the drugs.
At the time, it did not occur to me that anything was wrong, because we were told by the doctors that these were all steps that were going to happen, to be expected, because they were all HIV positive.
Jacqueline Hoger is a pediatric nurse who worked at Incarnation for 5 years.
If they were vomiting, if they lost their ability to walk, if they were having diarrhea, if they were dying, then all of this was because of their HIV infection, and to be expected, and that we were doing the best we could to save them from that.
Jacqueline was completely unaware that she was party to experiments on children.
It didn't come as my first thought at all to question the medication, and since I had worked with pediatric aides for many years and had given the medication, I just faithfully gave it as I was told by the doctors.
When parents refused to consent to these barbaric trials, the Administration for Children's Services took their kids and placed them with foster families or children's homes, where continued participation in the trial would be assured. Fauci was hell-bent on seeing this depraved experiment through to its bitter end. He simply would not be thwarted. When the children resisted his deadly drugs, they were brought to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where plastic tubes were surgically inserted into their stomachs, and the deadly drugs they were trying to escape from were pumped directly into their small bodies.
My friend Jolie said she never, ever let to take a medicine. So they used to hold her down, force it down her throat. I tell her, would you like this?
This boy spent most of his life at Incarnation. Age 15, after years on drug tests, he has the physique of a 10-year-old. He didn't want to show his face, but he did want to tell the story of what happened to him in the home.
I did not want to take the medications. And I did not want to, do all that stuff.
But they insisted.
Yeah, if you want to get out of there, you have to do what they say, or else you're not going anywhere.
His medical records, which we've obtained, prove that he was enrolled in drug trials while living at Incarnation. If a child refused to take the medicine, a PEG tube was inserted directly into the stomach, something he warned his friends about.
And I used to tell her every single day, please take your medicine. don't want a tube in your stomach. And she didn't listen to me. That's what she got. And my friend Daniel, he didn't like to take his medicine either. And he got a tube in his stomach.
When the children died of the deadly drugs, their bodies were simply tossed into a large unmarked grave in Hawthorne, New York, a large pit with AstroTurf thrown over it.
You would not expect too many parents to volunteer their loved children for such experiments. This means that if the researchers want to do the experiment on children, they're going to look for vulnerable children whom they can get. And when you have city government agency accommodating them, that is the biggest betrayal of those children. They don't have anyone but the city agency that is their guardian on paper, but not in human ways.
For over 10 years, Vera Shirav has battled almost single-handedly with the New York authorities to come clean over the use of children in drug trials.
They tested these very highly experimental drugs, phase one and phase two. Why didn't they provide the children with the current best treatment? That's the question that we have. Why did they expose them to risk and pain when they were helpless? Would they have done those experiments to their own children? I doubt it.
Years later, Vera Shirav, who spent years investigating all of this, told Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that Fauci just brushed all of those dead babies under the rug. They were collateral damage in his career ambitions. She said that at least 80 children died from Fauci's drug torture chamber in the Manhattan foster home alone. A BBC investigative journalist said in the documentary that I found the mass graves at Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Hawthorne, New York. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a very large pit with AstroTurf thrown over it. Under it, one could see dozens of plain wooden coffins. There may have been 100 of them.
In a mass grave owned by the Roman Catholic Church close to Manhattan, over 1,000 children's bodies, including some who were enrolled in the trials, lie beneath a tarpaulin. Officially, their deaths are recorded only as resulting from natural causes. For months, we tried to get answers from those behind the trials. From Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where many of the tests were devised. From Incarnation Children's Center, from the Catholic Church. And from the ACS, the authority ultimately responsible. None would comment. The drug companies which have supported trials at Incarnation include some of the world's largest. Among them, Britain's own GlaxoSmithKline. They also refused to be interviewed for this programme, saying only that all trials have stringent standards and are in compliance with local laws and regulations. In Washington, officials at the National Institutes for Health insist that any participation of children in drug trials should be voluntary in every sense.
The New York City Administration of Child Services commissioned a four-year investigation of Fauci's Dr. Mengele-style experiments and found that 80 of the 532 children who participated in Fauci's clinical trials died, and 25 died while enrolled in a medication trial. To get around the Nuremberg Code and other laws, the state of New York created a special review board comprised of the hospital stakeholders. But the numbers from Dr. Fauci's psychopathic trials in New York are just the tip of his bloody iceberg. By 2003, Fauci's NIAID was running at least 10,906 clinical trials involving children in 90 countries. The number of children tortured and murdered by Dr. Fauci around the world is in the thousands at the very least. Today, Fauci, his longtime vaccine manufacturing partner Bill Gates, Big Pharma and the World Economic Forum are desperately campaigning to have every child in the world, even infants, injected with their latest experimental vaccine. These are the same people who have publicly fantasized about all humans someday having implanted digital ID in their bodies to achieve their goal of transhumanism. They say they want a digital ID implanted into everybody for purposes of government monitoring of all human behavior by some kind of super globalist world government institution. Which begs the question, other than torturing and killing innocent children, what was Fauci trying to accomplish? The more we learn about Anthony Fauci, the man who lied to the world about COVID jabs, the more we realise that he is an absolute psychopath. And it doesn't matter why psychopaths do what they do. Fauci and his globalist cronies belong in cages at the very least. Anthony Fauci is just one old crook in a massive conspiracy that's aggressively pushing to inject everyone's children with the new deadly and debilitating mRNA experimental jabs, whether you consent or not. We need to learn from the mistakes of history and ensure that every last globalist criminal was held to account. As World War II came to a close and it became clear that Nazi Germany was losing, Dr. Mengele went on the run. He was briefly captured by American soldiers, escaped, and attempted to take up work as a farmhand in Bavaria before he eventually escaped to South America, where he set up shop as an illegal abortionist in Buenos Aires, never facing justice for his crimes. Fauci is similarly attempting to escape his life of crime by hiding in plain sight, with the mainstream media covering for his crimes. But the people of the world are waking up to the truth about the globalist agenda and the role Fauci played in the pandemic. Here are the people's voice. We are determined to continue exposing the crimes of the elite and holding them to account. But we need your help. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already and join the People's Voice Locals community for exclusive and uncensored content.
Alrighty, we are back. And we're going to open the phone lines early tonight and we're going to take some calls. But as we're, before we do that, though, we're going to hit on some articles. One, Joe Obama Biden, even with what is taking place now, even when asked about nuclear warfare, still believes that the climate change hoax, right now is America's most serious crisis. That the climate change is this is a hoax, folks. Right from the beginning, just like this whole pandemic hoax, just like the evolution hoax, and here, a real climate scientist debunks crisis claims. This is an article by Bob Unruh. And here, a real climate scientist has appeared on video debunking those claims that the world is in crisis, that people are dying because of the climate, and all of those changes leveled by activists. In fact, the science shows that over the last 100 years, the deaths related to climate have dropped by 97%. The comments come from Judith Curry, a climatologist who has published more than 140 scientific books and papers and has served on the faculty of the Georgia Tech. Curry was on the authorship team of a study that came out about the time of Hurricane Katrina. It pointed out to make adjustments when rebuilding New Orleans from the damage of such a storm. We didn't really blame it on global warming, Curry said, but the activists grabbed the information to use in support of their faith in global warming, which was changed to climate change when the warming stopped. Ignored were factors involved in natural variability in climate, and the issue prompted her to study more. Then came ClimateGate, which revealed so-called climate scientists concealing information, warping study results, and bullying editors. Extremists, including those at the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, decided on a war against oil companies and capitalism and put the policy cart far ahead of the science horse, she said. Then developed the bias in funding where scientists looking naturally at such issues couldn't get funded. Eventually, they determined to be deniers, and Curry said the scientific community likely began the cancel culture because of these issues. Today, she charged climate change arguments are being used to ignore the real problems that need to be addressed, such as poverty, lifestyle, poor government, poor land use, poor city planning, and more. A commentary at Twitch, he said, John Stossel was pretty brave to take on the modern-day religion that is climate change. This is not merely an agenda item or issue for many, many people. Oh, no, it has definitely become a religion. Alrighty, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888. Okay, let's go out to John from right here in Cleveland.
Yes, I think you brought up an important point, but it's one that is suppressed by both the Democrats, Republicans, and all of the media, whether it's Fox or CNN, Fox and MSNBC. One of them is, and that you won't find anywhere in any of the controlled media, but is carried on globalresearch.ca, globalresearch.ca, about how there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans in supporting the war, armchair warmongering billionaire war profiteers that control the media, along with the CIA controlling the media. Support for the Muslim Brotherhood by the CIA and U.S. and American imperialism and Israeli Zionism was a supporting of the Muslim Brotherhood against the secular groups resisting the Zionist oppression of the Palestinians. That is true. That is very true. And in the same way, if you check out an article called Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire, Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire, you'll see that the United States has supported the Muslim Brotherhood while it uses them as a kind of a mock-up scarecrow to justify attacking countries around the world where there are majority Muslim populations because they got so much oil to be plundered by the United States under their feet. It's just a pretext. And the United States supports Al-Qaeda and ISIS against secular countries like Syria and Libya. And that's the only real explanation for attacking them in the name of this soap opera, false democracy, humanitarian responsibility to protect. It has nothing to do with that. And unless you get some truth from this media, whether it's Democrat or Republican tilted, you're going to be completely muddled and have your brain scrambled as to what's really going on in
Israel.
Well,
you're not
right going
to get any truth. You're not going to get any truth from the mainstream media. They are going to do whatever they're told to say. They're owned by the different cartels, the Clintons, the George Soros. These people, you know, they dictate, and they tell them what they're going to say. Here's what you're going to report, and you're going to look into that camera and act like you believe it, okay?
Well, and that's true, except that the Koch's, the infinitely wealthy Koch brothers that also support the right-wing or Republican version of that right-wing warmongering propaganda also have as much or more power than the Soros.
Let me tell you, they definitely don't support. They don't have more power than Soros, but they definitely don't support Donald Trump, and they definitely don't support us. But anyhow, got to move on. Thanks. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, a couple of things I'll bring up. One is it's not only Fauci, but his flying monkeys. You know, who are these people in New York that are going along with these projects in Pittsburgh? So it takes more than Fauci. Fauci's a monster. He's the one that is 100% Remdesivir was Fauci. And he also had hydroxychloroquine pulled from as far away as France, where it was just in like Walmarts where you could buy it off the shelf without a prescription, because he knew that had some effectiveness against COVID, the COVID thing. But one other thing that's interesting is this is maybe more that goes to thinking. This is from an audio book called Stop Overreacting. And it talks about how people have a flood of negativity that comes in sometimes. And to counteract that, you could come up with a slogan or one sentence mantra that might be encourage yourself. I thought that was kind of interesting. I was thinking of, like, for example, myself with swimming. You know, I had done extensive ocean swimming, going out as much as 4 miles and coming back in. I never said to myself, I'm even a decent swimmer, because I couldn't picture myself being on a swim team and winning a race. So I could have said that to myself, but what do you think of, like, even spiritually, just like, for a churchgoer to kind of give, like, a one-sentence positive thing about themselves as they go along, like a mantra?
Well, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will raise you up. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, if you deserve praise, let others praise you. And humble yourself, and the Lord will lift you up. You got his words on it, don't you? So, Bible says God deserves the glory. Give the glory to God.
Well, I mean, like, you could say, well, at least I'm persistent, at least I keep trying, or at least I'm trying. Not like a self-aggrandizement, but something like that would be encouraging, you know, like just one sentence.
Well,
you know,
here, let me give you this, okay? We can say here that we have never, ever given any less than our very best in all the years we've been on radio. We can say that. We can say that we've never given less than our best. We've always done our very best here. We can say that we've never backed down. We've never backed down. We've never turned and run from a fight. We've always stood our ground. And so, you know, and we can say that and say it truthfully, because it is the truth. We haven't done that, but we don't want to sound like we're boasting about that. But, you know, there you go. Those are some things that you can say. You could say this. I've heard people say that here lies a man, have it written on his headstone, here lies a man with his name that loved the Lord with all of his heart, okay? That, you know, that is one something you can say. But in areas like that, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting, the idea of a mantra. You know, if you're playing a sport, you could say, well, at least I'm doing this right, you know, that type of thing. You know, at least if you're pitching a baseball, at least my fastball is working, maybe not my curve. You know, just a little one-sentence encouragement, you know, internally without boasting. Kind of like that idea, you know, like a single mantra, you know. Because you do need confidence, like, to a degree, like Joe flew helicopters, right? You have to have some self-confidence to do stuff like that.
How about this? Here I am, Lord, send me. That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Here I am, Lord, send me. Got to move on, but thanks. Let's go out to Massachusetts. And we got Jeff out in Massachusetts. Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey, I don't, Pastor Sanders. Here's the thing. My big fear is that what's happening in Israel will come right to America, because those sleeper cells are already here in America.
They've been here for a long time. You know, back, we were reporting on this back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, we were telling you, even back then, that there were sleeper cells starting here in America back then. And then in the 90s... Back in the late 90s, we really hit on it. But now Joe Biden's been bringing in terrorists left and right. He's been bringing them in. He's opened up the floodgates. His masters, the Chinese, told him, you're going to reduce America to third world status. And you're going to have the complete aid of the mainstream media and the complete aid of all of the far left to do that. And that's what he's been doing.
Yes, and also in Massachusetts, we have the largest mosque in New England called the Boston Islamic Center. The sister mosque in Cambridge was where the Boston Marathon bombers came from. Now, here's the takeaway. A lot of believers believe we're going to have a soft landing, as well as unsaved conservatives. Here's the news flash. We're not horrific war, probably World War III level, and we're going to eventually divide into a couple of countries. We're going to be the Balkans. We're not flying out of here. It's not going to happen. Get ready for hardship, persecution, and the equivalent of communist Cuba. If you want to know America's future, particularly in the blue states, communist Cuba is our future. There's no takeaway from it. The best thing I can say is the underground church. Get ready to shut down regular churches and meet in houses. That's the best thing I can say, because we're done as a country. God bless you, Pastor, and do have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Okay, my response to that is, look, God has chosen, God has given us three missions. He's given us the marching orders, and he's made it very clear, too. He gives you, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the answer is right there. We can bring America back to one nation under God if there's repentance. The Bible also says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you've got to just understand, we've been really stupid out there on our side in many, many ways. One, we mentioned that before. You have so many people in this country professing Christians are not even registered to vote. Not even registered to vote, folks. It's ignorance and apathy. That's called ignorance and apathy. Two, we've got to take our country back. For 50 years, I've been telling you here. 50 years, I've been behind the mic telling you, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. Get them out of it. Took me 50 years of warning people before they really started just recently, in recent years, realizing just how corrupt the public school system has become. And so we're seeing more and more parents now that are running for school board. But right now, Soros is back in another initiative, again, to do with school boards like he's done with attorney generals and district attorneys, virtually buying whores and sending them in there to corrupt, you know, to punish innocency and to reward crime. And that's virtually what he has done. We cannot put up with that. So one of the main things, too, we have to do, we got to take our country back, but we got to make sure, one, we get Donald Trump back into office. Now, listen, I don't think Donald Trump's the perfect candidate by any means. The only perfect man that ever walked the face of the earth, he will be coming back. Now, and that's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But I can tell you this. You know what they did to Trump. You know what? You know they stole that election. You know they stole your vote. And to right that wrong, we have to return him back to office, folks. We have to do that. And so these people out there and all of these other Republican candidates, they need to step down and turn and support President Trump. And we need to expose the corruption and all of these George Soros bought and paid for whores that he has as district attorneys and attorney generals and prosecutors. And that's what they are. That's what God's Word, the Bible, calls them, okay? How many times have we read that to you out of Ezekiel, out of Hosea, out of Isaiah? And so we'll be, oh boy, we passed the break. I'll be right back.
Someday yonder, we will never know.
tempted, tormented, and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone, and though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. Just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. You've got God's word on that. Nothing's more sure than that. All right, phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go out to Timothy right here in Ohio. Hey, Timothy.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, my friend.
Yeah, to listen to everybody else, I just wanted to throw my hat in the ring here and reaffirm that Sun Tzu said, if you know the enemy and know thyself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. And we can also tie that into, if we know Revelation 21, we win. So until he comes back and the new kingdom is established, we have to live from battle, from victory, not for victory. The battle is the Lord's. We are to run to the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You either bless Israel or you curse Israel. And you know what the Bible says about either one. And so those that are cursing Israel today, like in New York City, whether the Palestinians are, or in Florida, or all over the country where you have these knuckleheads that are trying to harass and cause damage to people that are supporting Israel, God's going to have the last say on all of that. And those that are in the battle want to make sure you're on the right side of the battle. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, there's no fool like a knowing fool. And if you look up Webster's definition of knowing, it means they have a keen awareness that they're a fool. So they know they're a fool. And when you act like a fool, you get what you reap what you sow. It's the reciprocity that's going to take them down. And the definition of wisdom, according to 1611 Authorized King James Version, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Job 28:28. So we pretty much, and also in James 3, we have knowledge, and in Ephesians, and he also says in the Bible, I will complete the work I started in you. That's all of us. Anyone that he started working, I'm going to complete the work I started in you till the day of Christ Jesus. Now, however, what side of the ledger Dr. James Dobson is on, and I hope he's on the Jesus side is the only way, and by grace and not through works, grace alone and not by works, should any man should boast. He claimed that Donald Trump is born again. If Donald Trump is truly born again, then he will complete what I started in him until the day of Christ Jesus, and we have to pray every day for his sanctification and God's hedge of protection around him. If he is going to be the new Cyrus, and he's going to put him in place if he wants him there to bring this to fruition, and he's the one that's been the strongest advocate for the patriots in this country. And God willing, I live to see it.
All right, let me ask you some questions here, because, see,
yes.
God's word in the Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Do you believe that?
Wholeheartedly.
Now, what do you think that knowledge he's referring to? He's referring to specific types of knowledge. What is that?
Well, first, that God is sovereign and his providence is unparalleled. That right there, the omniscience, omnipotent, and omnipresent. If you acknowledge those three things and you acknowledge the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as being the supreme author of everything in existence. And that,
yeah, well, that's for salvation. He's talking about people are destroyed because they don't
know the truth.
Right.
And
no.
the truth is twofold. The truth is Jesus Christ. He is the truth.
Right.
I am the
see,
way,
let
the
me
truth,
tell you
and
this.
The life.
Okay.
Also,
we have
the,
people,
the King James
we,
Bible.
Yeah, Timothy, we have people right now that are professing Christians. I know these people are professing Christians. And they are very, very anti-Israel because they're under the delusion that people don't really understand what Israel's really like. Now, here's their problem, you see. There are people like this fellow called Jesus that he described what a Jew is. He made it very clear that that not all of those that profess to be Jews are Jews, that many will claim to be Jews, but are of the synagogue of Satan. You know? And so he also made it very, very clear to these false Jews that they may be the seed of Abraham, but they are not the sons of Abraham. Therefore,
agreed. Now, yes, you have a possession, you have a profession along with a possession of faith.
Okay,
and those
so
that
now,
don't have both.
Yeah, let me finish.
Minded.
Let me finish, Timothy, because see, I'm trying to make a point here. The point that I'm trying to make is this: that there are people out there. They're looking at people like George Soros. Aha, he's a Jew. Okay, Bill Gates. Aha, he's a Jew. Okay,
no,
Hillary Clinton. Aha, he's a Jew, she's a Jew. Okay,
in name
and
only.
Right. Well, you see, they're saying these are the Jews, and we're seeing how wicked they are. Well. They're the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. Now, in Israel is a corrupt country. They have a very corrupt government, just like we do here. Their government is corrupt, just like ours is here. Not everybody in that government is corrupt, just like here in America. There's not everybody is corrupt. We have some that are saved, some that are Christian. But in Israel, and so if people take a look at this, now, who are these corrupt people? These corrupt people, they are the seeds, but not the sons of Abraham. These are the ones that the Apostle Paul referred to there in Romans chapter 9.
Yes.
But you see, the problem is we have people out here that can't discern that because they're really not biblically literate. They don't really understand that's answered right here in God's Word, the Bible, how you make the distinction. How you know the difference there. And so here, when you made that statement about those that bless Israel and those that curse Israel, that's referring to true Israel. True Israel.
Right, the ones that are Messianic Jews.
Well,
because if
you
accept Christ, most Jews don't accept Christ. If you don't accept Christ, it's the only way to the Father. So if they don't accept Christ, they either do it before they leave this earth, or they don't get where they think they're going.
I think your answer to that was going to be found in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 8 and 9.
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now.
That tells you that's the answer there. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. I meant chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. If you pull that up, how much time do I have, Derek?
I just wanted to say that it's Jesus is the only way. It all comes down to Christ and Calvary. And you either are for me or against me. It's as simple as that. Whether you're Jew, Gentile, black, white, red, yellow, doesn't matter. Gentiles were grafted in, according to the Bible, and the Jews are the apple of God's eye. But like you said, in the truest sense of the word, it comes down to Calvary. Do you accept Calvary or do you not?
Well, go ahead and read those last two verses there, verses 8 and 9.
I'm trying to hold this phone on my shoulder. It was Zechariah 8 and...
Zechariah 13.
Hang on.
Zechariah
13. Hang on 1 second here.
Yeah. If you read that, that will explain something to a lot of people. And so...
Hang on.
What
14, okay, 13.
You'll get her.
Hang on.
Just read those two verses, and then guess what? We got to get into giving an invitation.
You said 8 and 9?
Would you like to give an invitation? Yep. Yep.
All right, hang on.
8 and 9.
I got to go. I'm going to Bible Gateway here. It's easier when I have such limited time, it's easier to do it on the tablet, even though I have the book in front of me, than to flip the pages. I don't want to flip them too fast and tear my pages. 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, "This it is my people," and they shall say, "The Lord is my God."
So he's talking about Israel. One third of all professing sons or seeds of Abraham will be saved. One third of all of those that are professing Jews are true Jews, and they will call upon the name of the Lord, okay, and they will be saved. But now, we're at that point where it's time for the invitation. Would you?
I just wanted to say, if everybody's watching this stuff on TV, none of this caught God by surprise. And what's taking place here is man's inhumanity to man. And the perpetrators, God says the elect, touch not the elect. Any of the elect of all these people, whether it's Israel, America, wherever, all these in Ukraine, with all the corruption going on there, Russia, any of the elect that's being perpetrated, and any of the anointed, God's going to have wrath. And it'll be swift and mighty whenever it comes. The Bible says that I will repay. And when he says I will repay, there's no stuttering there.
Absolutely.
And I just want to say this. Let's just get started with, I hope everybody chose today the right choice, that you choose each day whom you're going to serve. And we're not guaranteed one nanosecond. We live nanosecond to nanosecond, or moment to moment, as it says. But that's the smallest amount of time, I believe, is nanoseconds. So if you keep that in perspective and you look exactly how long a nanosecond is, in less than a blink of an eye, you could be here or tomorrow. So we're living on very borrowed time every day. And the moment your eyes are open and your feet hit the floor, even before you hit the floor, you should be thankful that we have breath in our body and blood flowing through our veins and arteries. And that alone right there is reason to give thanks. And then the footprints in the sand every day. What are you and I going to do together today? What do you have planned for me? How can I be used in a benevolent way, in a light, not under a bushel, but outside the bushel every day with my talents and gifts? And my love for Jesus and love for the Bible, how can I be a light to someone else in word, thought, and deed, which are the only three things we have control of, and I use the word control loosely. Anyone that does not know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior and is not aware of the story of Calvary, you need to first get yourself a King James Bible and read it. There are some good commentaries out there, but you have to be careful of vet your source of the commentaries if you want to break it down further, if you're having trouble deciphering some things, or get a hold of Pastor Ernie or anybody affiliated with their church. I'm sure he can put you in touch with somebody else that can help break it down for you, because you want to make sure you rightly divide the word, and we don't want to add or subtract to it as well. With that being said, and then you get affiliated with a King James Bible believing non-501c3 church, and then you want to surround yourself with good Christian people. And before you do the sinner's prayer and receive salvation and be blood washed by the blood of Jesus, we first have to acknowledge that we are sinners. All have come short. There's no not one perfect other than Christ himself, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then once we acknowledge that, we profess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he is the propitiation and the ultimate sacrifice for our sin and filthy rags, because even our best is filthy rags, that we owe it all to him. And if we acknowledge that, profess that, believe it in our heart, to truly believe it in our heart, then comes repentance. We ask for forgiveness of sins, to pray to the Father through Jesus. Ask for forgiveness of sins. We have to also receive the gift of not only salvation, but forgiveness. And if we truly feel forgiveness, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Then you have to know that he puts it as far for the east as from the west, and you are a blood-washed, born again, bought and paid for, new creation. And we have to live from victory, not for victory. Because he already did the heavy lifting. We received the gift. We acknowledge that. We profess to live anew. That's every day we have to either choose to run from sin or run to sin. And if you are
1 minute.
Holy Spirit indwelt within you, you're not going to want to run to sin. He will convict you, and each day, if you're being sanctified, you're going to want to run from sin more and more. And when you flee him, I mean, when you resist him, he will flee, Satan. So doing those things, and then once you are kept, no one can pluck thee out of thy hand, the Bible says. Then, therefore, every day we have to put the armor of God on when you choose whom you're going to serve every day. And with the armor of God on, we have the reassurance that no one can, if God be for us, who can be against us? You have to go out there and proceed with the Great Commission every day and put your line in the sand. I'm not going to compromise no matter what chaos and nuttiness is going on. We have to continue to tell people, like John said.
All right, what you got to do, Timothy, you've got to repent, call upon the name of the Lord, and you pray to the Father. Repentance is absolutely necessary. And then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and God will always honor that commitment. So right now we've got to say this. We've got to say good night. We've got to say
God bless.
And then we've got to say, and always, always, always,
always
keep
always.
Fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.